The calm, unruffled beat of Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynch means it's Thursday at 10 p.m. Time for So What's Your Story? The only program originating in Houston that is devoted entirely to storytelling, right here on commercial-free, listener-sponsored, and award-winning KPFT 90.1 FM. The coolest place on your dial where we spotlight a variety of tellers from starters to stars who share at least one thing in common. Each is an extraordinary person who takes us on profound and fanciful journeys with astonishing stories from heart-rending personal narratives to enchanting folk tales, and then they return us safely to the present. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubichek, Professor of Communication Studies at the University of Houston Downtown, along with Roxy Russell, working the boards and stepping in just a bit. You know, sometimes our schools get a bad rap. Now, some of that might be justified, just as it might apply to any profession you can name and then some. But the true rap, the one to harness and believe, is that there's a plethora of excellent students in our city. And they can be found in every intellectual nook and cranny that dot the landscapes of art schools. Schools like Johnston Middle School, for example, whose student tellers made us laugh, cry, wonder, and wince on two spectacular shows last December. And in a few moments, as well as next week, when you're drawn in by these remarkable kids, you'll know why I call them special. Because these writers and storytellers from Johnston Middle are some of the brightest, most creative kids in our community. Let's learn about two special young ladies seated right next to me, and I think they're overcoming their apprehension, right? You're a little less nervous now? You're feeling okay? Yes? Oh, good. Okay. Well, sixth grader Ilana Reed is involved in both broadcast journalism and the orchestra at JMS. She plans to attend HSPVA and then to Rice University to study music. She's been playing violin since the first grade and intends to play for a renowned symphony. She's one of the few sixth graders in GMS Sinfonia Orchestra that's been invited to perform at Carnegie Hall. She watches Star Trek and loves reading science fiction. Mia Coyle is in the eighth grade and has just been accepted to HSPVA, congratulations, to study theater. She's been a musical theater performer since the age of six. Besides performing in Willy Wonka in the Johnston All School Musical, she performed at the Academy at the Humphrey School of Theater. She wants to perform on Broadway, just like Sutton Foster. She loves taking pictures, and she's a swimmer. Hello, both of you. How you guys doing? Right? We spent some time earlier talking. Mm-hmm. Say something.
I'm doing great.
You're gonna be okay, good. What about you? Have you got anything to say?
I'm excited to be here.
I'm glad you're excited because you're a Trekkie, aren't you?
Yes.
You are a Star Trek, and I was telling you earlier, I was teasing you saying I thought only older people were Star Trek fanatics. How'd you get interested in Star Trek?
Well, my dad likes Star Trek a lot, so...
Oh, an older guy. Okay, I got you. Yeah, okay. That's how you got interested. Does he watch all the reruns?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. They don't have any new ones. They have to be. He records them all, right? Yeah. Does he have a life? Does he do anything other than watching Star Trek?
Yes.
Okay, just giving you a hard time. Do you have any memorabilia? Any Star Trek memorabilia? Do you have any memorabilia? Stuff from Star Trek that you saved? Books? Souvenirs, things like that?
I have the Nitpicker's Guide to Next Generation Trekkers.
Nitpicker's Guide, okay. Well, we're going to talk about your amazing broadcast journalism t-shirt in a few minutes, Miss Alt. But right now, I want to know what kind of impact the study of broadcast journalism has on you, Elena. I know that it has made a significant impact. At first, you thought it might be an easy A, but it's done more for you, right?
Yes, that's right. I went into broadcast journalism, as you said, thinking that it'd be an easy A, but it's taught me that I just brushed the surface, and I have so much to improve on, but it's been helping me get better writing and presenting.
How can you possibly improve on anything? I was under the impression that you were a flawless human being. I mean, that's the impression that I get. You're a violinist. That's a beautiful instrument. And who's your favorite composer?
Definitely Bach.
Tell us why. This is an impressive answer. Tell us why.
He's composed so many incredible violin solos that are so fun to play, and I've learned a bunch of amazing technique by playing his solos.
And you're a writer and you're a storyteller, both of you are, and you've got a story, the one you're going to share with us, entitled Seeing Double. Now, without giving it away, tell us a little bit about what prompted your interest in writing that story.
Well, My sister and I have a special relationship, and I wanted to share that.
Please do. We're looking forward to it. What's your story?
I have a sister. Like most sisters, we get into arguments, we play tricks on each other, we play together, and we're in constant competition. We rival each other in athletic and academic abilities, and we've been through numerous experiences together. But unlike most sisters, we're twins. About 1 in 90 people are twins in the United States. About 1 in 270 people are same-sex fraternal twins, like me. I know that means it's unlikely to be someone like me, but I can never seem to comprehend that. I've always been a twin. I have no basis for comparison. But when I think about it, there are some things I should recognize as uniquely twinish and not generally siblingish. For instance, when we were younger, one of us would be more than a little upset if the other got a special opportunity or won a prize. That anger was only magnified by the fact that we're twins and supposedly equal. Thankfully now, we can recognize that we have different talents and it's okay if we're interested in different areas. But memories of past bitter thoughts and words still affect us today. Another big problem when you're a twin is birthdays. Birthdays are always a hassle when you're a twin. You need to get double the gifts, make sure we each have candles to blow out, and do a celebration that we both agree on. And it's not always our birthdays, it's other people's birthdays too. People feel stereotypically obligated to invite either both or neither of us, never one or the other, as if we're always a pair and never individuals. And there are those people who believe in supernatural twin abilities. They often come up to me and ask questions like, if I pinch you, can your twin feel it? Or, can you read your twin's mind? No. If you pinch me, my twin cannot feel it. And no, I cannot read my twin's mind. Reports of twins feeling pain at the same time are usually coincidences. Genuine cases of twins being able to do that are extremely rare and only happen with extreme sensations or feelings. There have been no reports of mind-reading twins. They can sometimes seem like they can read each other's minds because they know each other so well, but trust me, they don't exist. I'll always remember our early competition. I'll never be able to read her mind, and I'll never have a birthday to myself, but I'm thankful for my twin nonetheless. She's a part of my life that will never go away. We've been through a lot together, and that bonds us in a special way.
I love you guys. I love you guys. You guys rock. You know that? I want to have the Johnson Middle School show. Don't you, Roxy? We don't want anybody else. No offense to the hundreds of other people who've been on the show. You guys, what is twinish? That's a word you made up, right?
Yes,
come
I
on.
Made that
okay.
word specifically.
Give us a twinish idiosyncrasy. What is a twinish behavior? Please.
Wearing the same clothes.
Okay, that's twinish. And what
yes.
about twinability?
Twinability?
Didn't you say twinability? I could have sworn you said twinability.
Well, I said it as two different words.
Yeah, you're giving me a hard time, Archie. You're a language person. Well, this is Hank Rubinchek with Roxy Russell getting a language lesson. You are listening to wonderful guest tellers Mia Coyle and Elena Reed from Johnston Middle School on So What's Your Story? Only on listener-sponsored KPFT 90.1 Houston or KPFT.org for those of you using that avenue. But whatever road you took to tune in, we are so happy that you are with us. Elena, what do you want our listeners to take away from your story? What's a short, powerful sentence that you want us to understand from your story?
I want them to know that even though twins are special and other multiples too, they're still individuals and they should be treated that way.
You know, I love that. It sounds so simple, but that's profound. Individuality is important, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It is. You really made an impression on me when you said that people feel compelled to invite you to the same party. I hadn't thought about that, but that's got to be kind of... You kind of wonder, do they really want me here? Or, you know, kind of wonder that. Yeah, that's gotta be a little disconcerting. Mia, what is your favorite musical? You're a musical person, right?
Yes.
You are a theatrical individual. What's your favorite musical?
My favorite musical is Into the Woods.
Wow. And tell us why. That's a tough show. I mean, that's an interesting show. Most people say West Side Story, or, you know, or something like that.
Yes. I feel that the composer Stephen Sondheim really sends a powerful message through his music, and I feel like the book even puts that more forward.
What do you think the message is?
I think the message of that show is sometimes things may seem perfect, but lots of times there's another story behind it.
Yeah, very good. Always a hidden agenda, always something else,
yes.
Right? Something very latent. Very good. Now, why choose Sutton Foster as your model?
Sutton Foster is my role model because she is a tall woman who doesn't let being tall get in the way of getting roles. She is a character actress like myself, which means she basically does not play the typical ingenue.
Right. Interesting. And we talked about this a little bit earlier. It never
yes.
really occurred to me that any woman who is tall can possibly find that as an obstacle, but I guess it would, right?
Yes, definitely.
You think about tall women as beautiful women, models that are tall, but you're saying that in the theatrical world that isn't necessarily an asset.
Yes, definitely.
And you're also a photographer.
Yes.
You're multidimensional. You're kind of, you know, artistically ambidextrous.
Mm-hmm.
You're a photographer, and that is a beautiful mode of discovery, especially when it comes to understanding how to paint verbal pictures and certainly creating imagery in your own mind. It has to help in storytelling. I'm wondering, how does photography serve as a seed, a catalyst, in helping you generate a story?
Well, lots of times artists and writers find themselves capturing things that they find beautiful or profound in their daily life, and I feel like those are the main things that I use in my stories and in my photography. Like, when I see something that's beautiful or hear something that's beautiful, I want to put it onto paper or put it in a picture.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thought. And you do such a beautiful job. And your first story is sort of a love story, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And we're looking forward to it. Please.
Go ahead.
Ever since the first day I stepped onto a stage, I was hooked. I know that sounds cliche, but it is definitely true in my case. It's funny because you always hear the stories about kids who don't fit in at school because of one thing or another, and then they end up finding themselves on the stage. You never believe it until it happens to you. That was me at 6 years old. Probably one of the most obnoxious children ever, who always had to be right. Needless to say, I had a few friends, but something about me was just different than all the other first graders. My mom signed me up for a production class over at our local theater, thinking that it might be a great outlet for my singing and my loudness. I walked in and immediately knew that this is what I needed to be doing for the rest of my life. The singing, the acting, the dancing, the games, and the kids. The kids were incredible. Kids just like me, who couldn't sit still or stay quiet for 3 minutes. I did many musicals there to start out with. I thought that would be where I always stayed, until my mother and I found out about the Academy at Tutz, otherwise known as the Humphrey School of Musical Theater. Although my formal training came from the Academy, I also did recreational theater productions over at Wildfish Theater. So here I was, 9 years old in two outstanding theater programs. I was moving up classes, getting leads, and overall developing into an amazing young performer. I also made incredible lifelong friends there. Things went exceedingly well. My friends and I had an amazing time growing vocally and theatrically. I felt as if my life was completely perfect. Until last year. That was when heartbreak struck. During the musical A Chorus Line, in which I was playing Diana Morales, I developed what I thought was a sore throat about 3 days before the show. I was absolutely devastated. My voice sounded awful during the performance, but as they say, the show must go on. So I put on a smile, and I croaked out my songs. Although I had assumed the worst was over, the bad news just kept on coming. My friend over at Wildfish suggested we go to an ENT, ear, nose, and throat doctor, to get scoped. I decided that it was better to be safe than sorry. Luckily, our friend's father is an ENT and agreed to scope me. The news I heard was far from what I wanted to hear. Imagine everything you have ever worked for in your life being pulled out from under you in one moment. That's how it felt when the doctor told me that I had vocal nodules. Vocal nodules, commonly referred to as nodes, are calluses that form on your vocal cords when used too frequently or improperly. I was heartbroken. My mom helped me to stay strong. She had always been my supporter, and she definitely wasn't going to change that now. The doctor told me to get a second opinion. We went to Dr. Stasny at Texas Voice Center. He specializes in the voice and would be able to give a more clear scope of my throat. But nevertheless, the results came back the same, vocal nodules. They told me that as soon as my current musical, I was playing The Witch and Into the Woods at the time, and my choir showcase ended, I was not allowed to sing for the entire summer. Now, I completely understand that this may not appear to be such a big deal, but I assure to you, there was not a minute of any day where I wasn't singing. To stop singing for 3 months would be a huge challenge for me. The last song I ever sang before the songless summer was, ironically enough, the song I sang in a chorus line, What I Did for Love. The words, which so closely resembled my situation it was astonishing, were as followed. I won't forget what I did for love. I can't regret what I did for love. In the show, the character knows that she will never perform again, but she also knows that she will never regret the time she did get. I couldn't help but worry. So many people with nodules never were able to sing again, but I knew that I couldn't regret what I did for my love of theater. All I could do was not sing, funnily enough. Not singing was now my only hope of singing later. Luckily, after months and months of no screaming, limited late nights, no sleepovers, and no spicy foods, I was starting to get better. I went to multiple speech pathology lessons, which are basically where a doctor sits there and reteaches you how to speak. I learned how to say words higher and not as low, because surprisingly, even the way you talk can mess up your vocal cords. If you talk too low or you talk too high, lots of strain can be put on them. I also did a lot of tech work instead of performing over at Wildfish Theater. I helped out backstage, and actually it was very beneficial because I'm going to be doing a lot of tech work over at HSPVA. However, the worst of all of it was no singing. But after long hours of not singing, the notes had practically vanished. I truly believe that it was a miracle. Since then, I have been back in the swing of things for over a year now, performing in musicals and attending classes. I'm about to be in my 31st production overall over at the Humphrey School for Musical Theater, and I'm going to be in the musical Big. Although my experience with nodes did slow me down, it certainly did not stop me forever. Even though my voice is back to normal now, I still make sure to be a lot more careful with it. The best mistakes, after all, are the ones you learn from. And I won't forget, can't regret, what I did for love.
That's a beautiful story.
Thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful story. Thank you so much. Both of you tell stories that unfold magically. You really do. You know, I had a student a couple of years ago who had a similar problem as you. She was an opera singer, and she was told by her physician, her ENT person, that she'll never sing again.
Mm-hmm.
She told me that what really cured her, or what helped her heal, I should say, is that she wrote the story, like you did,
mm-hmm.
and she told it for the first time on the show. She broke down a little bit, but she said that the idea of telling a story that she wrote, was somehow a healing process. Does it help you?
Yes,
when
definitely.
You tell the story, yeah?
I feel like the more times I tell the story, the more I come to the realization that it really was for the better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's beautiful. I think of a quote when I think about your story, Mia, a ship in port is safe, but that's not what a ship is built for. Right?
Mm-hmm, yes.
So the idea of that, the human heart, sometimes we can take these tremendous constraints and we can just live with them. But that's not what we're for. That's not what the heart is for, right? That's not what it's all about. It's about doing it again. It's
yes.
about trying it again. It's
yes.
about realizing that failure is an option. It's okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just keep doing it. Beautiful. Just beautiful. You are enjoying the stories from two incredible young ladies, Elena Reed and Mia Coyle, with Dr. Hank and Roxy on So What's Your Story on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and 90.3 in Livingston. Hey, next week starts our spring fund drive. We need you, because KPFT is all about you. Listener-sponsored, commercial-free, great stuff. Eclectic programs that you're not going to hear anyplace else, so call in during your favorite show with your generous donations. Or get the job done right now by going to kpft.org, then to donations, to your form of payment, and then you'll be prompted to a menu of shows, and if you scroll to and click on So What's Your Story, because you love us, and we hope you do, like magic, we're going to love you back by keeping storytelling alive and well in Houston. So please, help during our drive and keep KPFT's outstanding inventory of programs at your beck and call. Right now, as a matter of fact, Elena's parents and Mia's parents are writing out a check for about $20,000, I think, aren't they? Yeah, something
yeah,
like
that. Yeah, I think
maybe
that's about right.
2025. Roxy, what are you nodding for?
Yeah,
it's wishful thinking.
They made them out to Roxy Russell.
Yeah, Roxy Russell. Right. Yeah, right. Thank you very much. Very good. Roxy's becoming funny. She's becoming funny. She's working very hard at it. But haha, very good. Thank you, Roxy. Good, yeah. In the meantime, we have got to keep this show going, as well as all of our wonderful, wonderful shows. And Roxy, speaking about standing programs, what are your thoughts about these two gals?
I'm convinced that Miss Alt has put something in the water.
Yeah,
and
she really
that
does.
She's found some wonderful students to tell some wonderful stories.
I agree with you. I mean, I have to tell you something. I don't know what's going on here, but
it's in the water.
But, you know, whatever she's doing, she needs to bottle it and sell it. That mm-hmm. is for sure. And also, Roxy, tell us, now we're on the theme of outstanding. Let's keep it going. Tell everybody what they have to do in order to learn storytelling in outstanding fashion.
Hank, it's with the Houston Storytellers Guild because it's the best place to learn to tell stories or to find new ways to listen and enjoy them. Monthly swaps are held the third Tuesday of every month from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the St. Andrew's House, located at 1811 Heights Boulevard. And check out the Houston Storytellers Guild site at www.HoustonStorytellers.org for all the fun happenings.
Great. Roxy's drinking gin, so sometimes it's hard for her to get the words out, right? That's beautiful. Nice job. Yes, Roxy was a communication graduate. You see what you can do for a living. Absolutely this and paid absolutely nothing. Isn't that fun? So
yes.
Get involved in the artistic world. This is wonderful. Also, Roxy, thank you for that announcement. The Houston Storytellers Guild will be changing its venue in July. We'll keep you posted. We're not necessarily keeping it a secret. We just don't know yet, but we're going to be letting you know. And check out our site again, as Roxy pointed out, www.HoustonStorytellers.org for all the fun happenings and all the instructions, as well as a whole slate of these wonderful, wonderful shows with these magnificent tellers from Johnson Middle School and all the others that we've had in the recent weeks and recent years, and you'll get them all on that site as well. Now listen, your teacher, Miss Ald, the person we've been making reference to, Roxy says she's put something in the water, and she's right, has been a major influence. She really has been. And I know that's not a profound thought to say, hey, she's made an influence, but made an impact, but tell us how she really has influenced you. Let's start with you, Mia. How does she influence you?
I think that Miss Ald is an amazing teacher who definitely gets right to the point and is very good at telling students exactly what we need to do in order to succeed.
And what is that? What's her formula? Does she have one?
Her formula, basically, I think, is to work hard, to not mess around while you're learning, and to just be creative and be yourself.
Yeah, be creative, be yourself. You know, creativity to me is taking two things that don't necessarily relate and put them together. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And I think she really does that very well. She may not realize it, but she does that beautifully. What do you think?
Have
you got something to add? Yeah? Anything else?
I feel so fortunate to have a broadcast journalism teacher like Miss Arlt.
Yeah,
yes.
Really and truly. But broadcast journalism has got to be something that wasn't even on your radar, right? Elena, it wasn't on your radar. You never thought about doing that. Did you? Right?
Nope.
Any interest in a career in broadcast journalism now? I know you're not necessarily thinking that way, but what do you think? Got a great voice.
If I don't get a career that relates somehow to the violin, then probably broadcast journalism.
No, I think you're going to be a symphony violinist, aren't you?
Yeah.
You have a favorite symphony?
Houston Symphony?
That's a very good answer. Yeah, that's a very good answer. You know, my wife is a flutist, a beautiful woman who's a fabulous, fabulous flutist, very talented for the Houston Ballet Orchestra. And she would probably agree with you. But yes, that's one of the wonderful orchestras. But there are some wonderful ones. And I have a feeling that you're the kind of person who's going to get a job for one. But, you know, teaching is everything. It is. And if we have any teachers out there, and I know we do, we have so wonderful teachers who listen to the show, and parents, librarians, people who care about kids and education and learning and language. A teacher really is a compass that activates the magnets of curiosity, knowledge, and wisdom in our children. Joseph Addison, 18th century essayist, wrote, What sculpture is to a block of marble, education is to a human soul. And I think that that really does say an awful lot. You guys did great tonight, huh? You're almost done. What do you think? Elena, how was this? Was this pretty cool?
Yes, it was. It was nothing like I expected.
Well, what did you expect? This will be a good one. What did you expect?
I expected an intimidating empty room.
Well, Roxy could be intimidating.
Intimidating.
Am I intimidating?
No.
Did you think I would be?
Yes.
Why?
Well, I'm on the radio.
Yeah, and you thought I'd just give you a hard time.
Yes.
Yeah, you think I'm that kind of a person. Just giving you a hard time. What about you? Is this what you thought?
I thought that it was an amazing opportunity, and I definitely would like to thank you for it. It's even better than I expected, honestly.
In what way?
I expected to be extremely nervous on the
air.
We
want flattery, you know. I mean, Roxy and I want as many positive comments as you can dish out.
You thought you'd be nervous? Yes, I felt like I was going to be really nervous. And then when I started saying my story, I just felt like it all just came together.
It was cool. It was great. Anything you want to say to your friends or your parents? Anything?
Yes.
Thank you,
Mom and Dad, for being so supportive and helping me to get here. I'll be thinking of you next time an amazing opportunity like this pops up.
Aw, isn't that nice? Were you paid to say that? That's so beautiful. That was so wonderful. What about you? Anybody, your friends? Facebook? You write to Facebook, everybody? Everybody's listening again,
aren't
they?
Oh, yes. Everyone's so excited to hear me.
Oh, yeah.
My grandparents, my mom and dad, who I love so much, and all my friends that tuned in to listen.
Fabulous. You know, both of you remind me of an essential adage. An original teller is not one who imitates anyone, but one who nobody can imitate. And you guys are absolutely incredibly unique. Joseph Campbell said it best. The privilege of a lifetime is being who you are. And you two are just wonderful. And I cannot possibly thank you enough. I meant what I said earlier when you guys are just, you know that, just wonderful. We have just a love affair with you folks. We love it when you're here. It was just an absolute privilege. Thank you, Johnson Middle School, for producing students like Mia Coyle and Elena Reed, whose personal narratives test the boundaries of the human heart. Your stories are treasures. Very memorable gifts you gave us tonight. Roxy, thank you for always being there, and let's get set for that fun drive. Everyone out there, remember their instructions, right, to help us get some money. Stay put, because Scooter, Mr. Scooter, is next with The Inner Side. To complete the backside of this Power Hour on KPFT, make 90.1 a part of every day and make it a habit to tune in every Thursday at 10 p.m. for So What's Your Story and ease into the weekend right. Keep loving a great story, and I'm going to keep bringing them to you. Be good to each other. I'm Dr. Hank reminding you that it's, let's all read it together, that it's never too late to live happily ever after. Good night.